Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. The United Kingdom is no stranger to creating entirely new municipalities in order to move people out of its strained cities, particularly London. These overspill communities, also known as commuter towns, popped up all over the 20th century to service the city without overcrowding it. But what about when there is no room for those Londoners who are no longer in the land of the living? Well, the answer became the largest cemetery in Europe. Monocle's Christy Evans travelled to Brookwood, the dead centre of Surrey, to find out more.
The next station is Brookwood. Please mind the gap between the train and the platform edge.
In the mid-1800s, London's population was growing by over 600%, while also being decimated by cholera. The result was an overabundance of bodies and no room to bury them. To remedy this, the London Necropolis Company purchased around 2,000 acres of heathland near Woking, at the time known as the Waste of Woking, 350 of which was immediately transformed into Brookwood Burial Ground. Today, the cemetery has expanded to 450 acres and is the final resting place to an estimated 250,000 people. To put that into context, the city's seven largest cemeteries have a combined acreage of 290. In spite of this fact, not many Londoners know about it. I myself only became aware when I recently moved to the suburbs and passed this curious place on my twice daily train journey to and from London Waterloo. This exact route, I was to discover, would be the very last passage made by the dead.
Are you Christy? I am, you must be Kim.
I am.
This is Kim, chairwoman of the Brookwood Cemetery Society, and today is my tour guide.
So, all this area is Muslim burials for the people who were there.
And on this side is what is known as Actors' Acre, an acre of land that was purchased by the dramatic and Equestrianist Society or something like that, and it was for the burial of actors of the Victorian Edwardian times. Mr. John Anson, he was the gentleman that sort of set up a benevolent fund, and his memorial is just through there. He was actually looking for a burial spot. His young daughter had died. A lot of actors and actresses of those times would be buried in a churchyard and forgotten. And he thought, well, why not have their own plot? The cemetery used to do burials on a Sunday. And that was a day when the actors and actresses didn't actually work. So it was ideal for them. They could come down, have their funerals.
As I gazed towards the area on my left, I couldn't help but feel confused. There were perhaps 10 dilapidated headstones dotted around the grass, not exactly befitting of its title.
Although there's not many headstones here, there are a lot of burials here. The cemetery, in its day, offered three classes of burial. If you were a first-class burial, you would get a choice of where in the cemetery you wanted to be buried, and you automatically got a headstone. If you were second class, you had a little bit more restricted place where you could be buried, but you still had some choices, but you paid extra for your memorial. If you were third class, you were a pauper, and you were buried either on the boundaries of the cemetery or in parish plots, in pauper areas in those plots. And you didn't get a marker.
Just left to be forgotten about.
Yeah, unless the family could remember where you were.
Even in death, the class war raged on. And it wasn't just the burials that the wealthy corpses would be disassociated from the poor. Remember I mentioned the final journey?
The train used to come all the way through there, across here, and along that pathway, that area there. And if you can just see through the hedge line, that wall, that was the edge of the platform.
Today you can access the cemetery directly through a gate at Brookwood train station. But back then, the graveyard had its own platform and dedicated railway line from Waterloo, run by the London Necropolis Company.
The hearse carriages were special carriages, and they were class segregated.
So even in death, you were...
Yeah.
Just as I was starting to wonder if it was possible to cancel the callous Victorian era as a whole, Kim provided a little ray of light.
Reynolds, when he died, he was buried probably as a pauper, but they knew he would be in that area somewhere. And later on, his regiment decided to have a collection, and so they placed that memorial there and had a big ceremony for him, and that's why he's there. It was just, they did it close to where they thought he was buried.
In fact, as we trundled around in Kim's car, I began to realise that here, people are more mixed together than anywhere else.
One of the earliest burial sites in the cemetery for Muslims is just round here.
All denominations, creeds and societies are welcome. And you might even spot the odd recognisable name buried side by side with a John Doe, including architect Zaha Hadid. Dodi Al-Fayed was briefly interred here before being moved to his family plot. The most striking revelation, however, came from the military burials, which are now cared for by the Commonwealth War Graves Commission.
What you don't get is you don't get sections for the generals, the majors. If a major dies in a certain timeline as privates, and that they are all mixed together. There's no distinction from them.
I guess you're all the same in death, aren't you?
Yeah. So yeah, it is a working chapel. You're interested by
that's
that?
That's cool, yeah.
Okay, let's back up. This is the Pelham Clinton Memorial. And it's originally to, I think it's Matilda, Lady Matilda Pelham Clinton. And she was one of Queen Victoria's ladies-in-waiting. We don't know who sculpted it. What you have is obviously the wife has died. The husband is grieving. And then it is said that is her spirit rising up to heaven.
She's got her hand over him.
Yeah. Let's say, I'm okay.
The array of beautiful and interesting memorials are delightful to wander amongst. However, the real charm, and sometimes heartbreak, lies in the stories of those they belong to.
So, this is to an air crash. Now, in the Second World War, when Germany invaded Czechoslovakia, some of the Czechoslovakians managed to escape and they came over here, and then they helped the war effort from here. When the war ended, they were being repatriated, and this group of people were on an aircraft, and the aircraft was called the Liberator. But sadly, straight after takeoff, it crashed out at Blackbush. And there was, I think, 23 people on board, and everyone lost their lives.
During our tour, we passed by several families visiting their loved ones. In these moments, I felt oddly conflicted. Here I was, marvelling at this historical place, enjoying anecdotes of those long gone. I hadn't spared a thought to the fact that there are still 200 burials annually, even if that is a mere fraction of the 4,000 a year from its heyday. During our drive back to the station entrance, I couldn't help but reflect on my attitude towards cemeteries. I'd never been encouraged to visit my grandmother after she passed, so I'd always thought of them, I'm ashamed to say, as wasted land. Why not repurpose it for those still breathing who need affordable housing and green space? But I understand the desire to not be forgotten, and that we all have a story to tell. That's why the Brookwood Cemetery Society endeavours to research and restore the memorials using funds raised from guided walks.
You know what strikes me as we're doing this is that it's like a weird sort of community of the dead.
Yes, well, necropolis means city, and it's city of the dead, and that's what it was all about.
Perhaps it is an important and active part of our urban landscape after all. For Monocle 24, I'm Christy Evans.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Christy Evans for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye. And thank you for listening, City Lovers.